Let's cut to the chase and make a not-so-bold prediction about this year's Academy Awards. Some winners will be mentioning politics in their acceptance speeches. From the SAG Awards to the Golden Globes and more, Hollywood increasingly is putting politics center stage during award shows. As for the granddaddy of them all, the Oscars, you can also expect politics to bubble to the surface, says GLT culture maven Sherry Zeck. And that's not at all unusual.
This is not new necessarily. Marlon Brando sort of infamously had a Native American woman accept his Oscar for him.
Hello, my name is Sasheen Littlefeather. I'm representing Marlon Brando this evening, and he has asked me to tell you that he very regretfully cannot accept this very generous award.
And there was quite infamously in the like 77, 78, somewhere in there, when Vanessa Redgrave, in accepting her award for playing a Jewish woman in Julia, when she was much anticipated to win the award for this, but she was also at the time herself, and continues to be actually, a very strong advocate for the Palestinian people and associated with the PLO and Yasser Arafat and all of that. So there were protests outside, and she denounced the protesters as Zionist hoodlums.
And you have refused to be intimidated by the threats of a small bunch of Zionist hoodlums whose behavior...
That legacy of protest has always been there. The Hollywood community tends to be a more or less left-leaning community, or at least liberal community. And they pride themselves, in general, they pat themselves on the back a lot for politics in their movies, right? Hollywood has this image of itself as the protectors of liberal ideas, and as creative people, they are the ones who are, in general, moving the world in a progressive way. So Trump then is a particular challenge. And I think the thing that is most, that's bringing this out about Trump, first of all, Trump is a different kind of challenge to America than other conservatives we've had in the office of the presidency. So there's that. But it's also that he himself is a media person, that he himself is a TV star, a producer, that he himself consumes popular media voraciously. So his being such an avid consumer of the media, I think, has made people, when they have the stage, feel more emboldened to speak against him. But we're early in awards season, so we'll see.
Do you think this is going to continue?
Oh, it'll continue through the Oscars, certainly.
Is this appropriate?
Why not? People have the stage. They can do whatever they want. It's just as appropriate as thanking their families and thanking God and thanking whomever they want to. Now, appropriate is a different question from why do we care?
So as an audience, do we even care what somebody's political views are? And don't they risk alienating us by going up there and saying one thing or another rather than saying, hey, thanks, Mom and Dad?
Sure they do. There was a lot of backlash against Vanessa Redgrave, for instance. Now, not Marlon Brando. That was just sort of, it fit into his persona as a kind of brooding rebel. On the other hand, such as it did with Marlon Brando, it can enhance how we look at somebody as somehow more serious than we took them before. For instance, Leonardo DiCaprio, who's someone who I think is a pretty fine actor, but he's still always kind of trying to prove himself as actually a good actor and not just a pretty face who Martin Scorsese happens to like, right? There's this sense about him and the roles he takes that he's always trying to demonstrate that he's the real deal. And when he won last year, in the middle of his speech, he said something about the treatment of Native Americans in the area where they filmed the movie. And I think that was also part of his trying to say, I'm a serious person. Making that political statement was, I'm not saying it wasn't heartfelt, but that it also is part of a project, I think, to enhance how we view him.
Okay, maybe I'm showing my cynicism here as well. But do you feel that maybe when performers go up and they do a thank you and they throw in the politics, that they're doing it not merely to show how serious they may be about certain issues, but as a way of enhancing their brand and getting a lot of hits on social media, that everybody goes, oh, I can't believe what so-and-so just said, and suddenly the Twitterverse goes berserk, and suddenly what they did goes viral. Could that be factoring in?
I actually don't think so. because these folks get enough hits as it is. We're not talking about some, we don't care when the documentary short filmmakers make political statements. We expect them to do it. And basically, people are going on social media trying to figure out who they are because nobody's seen their movies. So, but when we're talking about someone like Meryl Streep doing this, she doesn't need any more media coverage than she has. I think that these are people who, because they are celebrities and they are treated, now I'm speaking in general, and this is not to take away their own feelings about themselves as human beings, but they're constantly being asked what they think about this, that, and the other thing. Some 15-year-old who's been in a movie is suddenly expected to be an expert on the world. They aren't even an expert on the acting profession, let alone the world. But we treat celebrity as if it equates with knowledge and having something to say. So they just take that opportunity. They have a stage and they use it. And I think there's probably, I'm not a psychologist, but I play one in this show a lot. I think there's probably something that happens psychologically when you're feeling the weight of a moment that's so important to you that you want to express that importance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so in wanting to express that importance, you feel like you've got to say something bigger than just, thanks for framing me right
in this
when
show.
You're shooting the film.
That's
yeah.
right. So let's talk about some nominations and some of the nominations that you think are pretty interesting and who's going to be walking home with the little gold guy. So why don't we talk about Best Actor to start
sure,
with.
Sure, pick the toughest one to start with.
Sorry, because you've got some, there's, I mean, Denzel Washington, Casey Affleck, Ryan Gosling. There's a lot of really good people in this particular category. And good performances.
Sometimes, it's my general take on the Oscars is that sometimes an award will go to something that is just so striking and odd that they can't ignore it. But more often, the awards go to people they like. This category, I think, is especially difficult to call because I think all of these actors, they tend to be on the young side. And so remember, in the Oscar voters, there are a lot of really old folks who frankly don't know who the heck Andrew Garfield is.
Oh, he's Spider-Man, something like that? Yeah,
exactly. And so there's a whole lot of the voting block that will go for Denzel Washington, whether they've seen Fences or not, whether they thought it was any good, because he is the more familiar actor, the bigger insider. He's not the biggest hit on this list.
It's Friday night, it's my payday, all them rogues down on the avenue, the ones that ain't in jail, and Lines is hopping in his shoes to get down.
So who's my pick there? There is lots of buzz about Casey Affleck, but I think he's just, he's not experienced enough. I think it's going to be Denzel Washington again.
Okay. Now, for actress, we have an interesting assortment from the divine Streep, Meryl Streep. We also have Emma Stone for La La Land. Natalie Portman's in there for Jackie. So what's your pick there?
I know I'm going to sound crazy here, but I think it's going to be Meryl Streep again.
Really? Another one?
Another one. Because I think Portman and Stone will kind of split the younger vote in the Academy, and there's just a solid block in the Academy that find Meryl Streep golden.
It is true that a lot of singers my age are on the decline, but I seem to just get better and better.
I know.
And even if this is not the greatest film she's ever done, they're not going to vote for one of these youngsters against her. So I think she, like Denzel, they're going to win because of that older, aging part of the voting.
We certainly do have a lot of terrific women here up for Best Actress. What we don't have any women up for is Best Director.
Right.
And it has been years since 2008 was the very first time a woman won an Oscar for Best Director. That was Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker. And no woman has won since. What's going on there?
Well, sexism.
Okay. Moving right along.
That's easy. Women are rarely nominated in directing roles. The director is the controlling figure on the set. And while there have been a number of terrific women directors really throughout film history, and in the silent period, there were fabulous female directors. There were a couple even in classical Hollywood who had some successes, Dorothy Arzner, Ida Lupino. But they just, the Academy tends to see this as a guy thing.
And do you see them getting past that anytime in the near future?
No. I mean, even in the fact that Bigelow won for a guy film. Now, it had a female lead, but what I mean is it was the kind of, it wasn't an action adventure film exactly. It was more investigatory than that. But the kind of film she was directing is one that it was rather unusual for a woman to direct. And I think that had something to do with her winning. It also had something to do, her winning had something to do with the fact that the Academy was made very conscious of the fact that women had not won. But there hasn't been much action for female directors since her. And so I think the Academy's sort of, they're not thinking about that right now.
So let's talk about what's up for Best Film.
Okay.
We've got a great array here. La La Land, Moonlight, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, Hidden Figures, Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, which shocked me because I just thought Mel Gibson's career was over years ago. But hello, he's back. Fences and Hell or High Water. So those are a lot from which to choose.
People think that this is the year for La La Land. Tons of nominations, did well at the Globes. And I think it's a real possibility. Also, there are a lot of sleepers here. There's lots of buzz about Moonlight. Lots and lots of buzz about Moonlight. But I think it's going to be Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures is exactly the kind of film Hollywood likes to honor. In the end, it's a kind of a feel-good film. Because in the end, the particular characters do get recognized for their talents. And they, in real life, they had outstanding careers. Although it is a film in which racism is featured, within the context of the 2 hours and 8 minutes, things kind of get resolved. And that's the kind of feel-good look at racism that Hollywood likes, more than, say, Moonlight, which is it's a beautiful film, but it's also a difficult film. It's not, there aren't easy answers in it. Things are not clearly resolved. In fact, the ending's quite open-ended in many ways. It's a more uncomfortable film than Hidden Figures. So I think in that regard, Hidden Figures has it over Moonlight. Also, it's a film that has fabulous performances in it that were largely ignored by the Academy. In winning the Best Picture Award, it's going to compensate for not a lot of action on the acting awards.
That's GLT culture maven Sherry Zeck. She's the Associate Dean of the College of Fine Arts at Illinois State University. The 89th Academy Awards will be telecast this Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. I'm Laura Kennedy.